Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 392 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today, my guest is Catherine Porter. Now, Catherine is an attorney in Southern California, but she's developed a really interesting, I wouldn't say side gig. It's actually becoming her primary focus in the law, and that is of a project management consultant. And this subject is near and dear to my heart because as a former systems engineer, project management is a discipline and a skill set all unto itself. You can get certified to be a project management specialist through primarily something called PMI, Project Management Institute. But anyway, we have this really interesting discussion about, you know, how project management can be used to understand the workflows and the resource allocation and the bottlenecks in your firm, and ultimately to improve your ability to deliver legal services to your clients. So without any further delay, here's Catherine Porter. Catherine Porter, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, Neil. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with us today, calling from sunny Southern California. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Okay, well, I'm a practicing lawyer. I've been practicing for over 20 years, which makes me sound really old. I feel really old. I started in big law, but I now mostly do freelance work for other smaller law firms, and I have a small real estate litigation practice. But I recently found really my joy, the most fun I've had practicing law, which was not really practicing law. It was doing project management for a freelance client of mine who's a small firm and a mass tort plaintiff case. And doing that and building out their project management system, it just got me super excited and I really enjoyed it. So I am now a lawyer and a law firm consultant trying to build that arm of my business. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think you're old. I was old when I started law school, and I've been at it almost 20 years now, so I feel the pain a little bit. The other thing, you know, a previous career of mine was in the IT world, systems engineering, software engineering world. And so project management, many people might not understand, but project management is a science and a discipline all unto itself.
It is.
So talk a little bit about what it means to develop project management plans and to become certified. Are you certified?
I am certified,
yeah,
yes.
And what it takes to get certified in project management.
Yeah, well, project management, I guess to start with that is, let's see if I can remember my PMI definition, is a basically a discrete work, a piece of work that has a temporary endeavor to produce a certain service or a product. And so it's not operations, right? So it's not, you know, intake clients. It's a case could be a product, or you could even have a smaller project within a project. You could have, you know, you could have, you know, discovery or a certain or trial prep as a distinct project or trial maybe as a project. And so you can have a project management plan surrounding about that. And to me, project management is all about planning, which I think is why I like it. I like plans. I like thinking about things and how to do them and how to do them better. And so to me, that I think that's why project management always appeals to me. And so you think about you know, exactly what you need to do, all the different things that need to get done to produce that result and or deliver that service. And then the project manager comes in and they're really the I think I've heard they say project managers spend 90% of their time communicating. And it's just making sure everybody's moving forward with the right work and the right tasks and thinking about kind of the big picture, the timeline of how things are going to flow and who's responsible for what. And also, you know, what the key deadlines are, what are the key deliverables. And the project management plan is made up of all these other smaller plans, like stakeholder communication. And I think, you know, that I feel like my, you know, secret sauce, I guess, is being able to translate project management terms to lawyer speak. And so one of the, like when we talk about stakeholders, well, who are our key stakeholders? The client is probably the top stakeholder, but then so is your, you know, support staff and yourself and anybody else who helps you. They're also stakeholders. And so one of the things is communication and how are you going to plan that communication? So communication plan, risk management plan. I'm trying to think. I can't think of all the other smaller plans. It seems like there's always a plan for everything. The work breakdown structure and your schedule, your budget, that's a big thing as well. And I think that's something that I've seen law firms getting better and better at implementing, really thinking about matter budgets, because I think that's client-driven, where clients are focused on, you know, hey, how much is this going to cost? And so I think that's a really key piece of project management that has a direct benefit for law firms.
Well, clearly, the larger the matter, the larger the firm, the more important project management becomes. But there's a lot to be absorbed and taken from the concept of applying project management technologies to smaller, discrete matters and activities. So in my IT days, you know, the project plan, you know, first started with a workflow analysis that would, you know, a bubble chart, if you will, a flow chart. And I don't care what you're trying to map out, there's value in creating that bubble chart, that flow chart, from doing that workflow analysis. And lawyers would be well advised to start and apply that technique.
Yeah, that's actually the first technique that I usually talk about when I talk about project management tools and techniques. Workflow mapping is number one, because I think it applies to any size firm and it applies to any interaction that you have or the client has. And so you just need to understand that workflow. And it doesn't have to be that hard and doesn't have to be that complicated.
When I was a true solo for many, many years before I started adding virtual staff, and the act of adding virtual staff and then bringing them up to speed and training them, onboarding them, required that I start and pay attention to this. Because before, when it was just me, you know, the workflow analysis was in my head. The flow was in my head, the process, the procedures, and what have you. So the first thing that we did is we sat down on a whiteboard, you know, a virtual electronic whiteboard, but a whiteboard nonetheless. And we started with, where do our clients come from?
Mm-hmm.
That was our
first. I mean, that's another piece, like a workflow map. I'm sure you probably did this in the IT world as well, as the client journey. And yeah. So, and that begins with the first contact that your client has.
Well, even more than that, I mean, where do we get our clients from?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our big picture. So we get some from the website, we get some from referrals, and we get, you know, some from centers of influence. Okay. And then we started drilling down, and that's when we started getting more into the workflow analysis and how it was the same or different for each one of those categories of potential new clients.
Right. And I think it's almost like where the customer client journey overlaps with the workflow map, right?
Correct.
So you have a touch point that's different for a client that comes in from a referral. And so that onboarding journey might look a little different, but certain processes will be the same. So the workflow come in there, right?
And what was interesting, and this is where I think other solos, small firms can benefit, is that when you start to map that out, you start to see places where it's the same. And so now you can start and consolidate the processes for the for those steps that are the same. And those processes and procedures can apply regardless of where the client came from.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, that's where kind of a dovetails with the standard operating procedures, which is also something I think that's really important. You know, as soon as you add one person to your team, or even just as yourself, to make sure you're doing it consistently, you know, we don't need to recreate the wheel, right? We can keep our, we all have our templates, our form files, right? And so it's similar to that. And it's like, okay, at this stage, send this or do this, and helps create that consistent client experience no matter where they come from.
And what we ended up doing was mapping out the entire operation of the law firm, something I'd never really done. And it was eye-opening for me as the law firm owner to kind of go through that workflow analysis step. Because now I saw really the big picture and where things intersected and where they were tied together or sequential in some cases. And it started to, you know, the picture of how the law firm worked started to become much clearer. And I think that's the kind of service that you, at least at the beginning, you provide for your clients, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think that what I hear from a lot of lawyers with smaller, either solos or small practices, you know, I ask them, well, how do you track what needs to get done? Well, it's all in my head, you know? And so I think that not only having the process out map, but the tasks and so having that workflow, and the process mapped out also gives you the techniques that you need to do, the procedures to follow so that it all makes sense and that gets out of your head so that the right people are, doing the right work at the right time. And so, you know, having the templates and they know what template to use because it's baked right into the process.
Yeah. And then typically what our next step would then be would be to take the top level and map that out into a work schedule to show where each of the top level steps are related. And the typical product is a cascading bar chart where the x-axis is time. And you'd have task one starts here, ends here. Task two starts in the middle of task one and ends a little later. Task three starts at the end of task two. And you can see those interdependencies. And is that a similar approach that you take?
Yes, very much so. I think it's really important to have that visual representation, whether it's on a Gantt chart or to use a project management.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the term. I was struggling there as a Gantt chart.
Yeah. And I think one of the key things about the Gantt chart or whatever visual representation is to see those relationships.
Yeah.
And they're really, you can, you know, pinpoint where you are and what's coming up and what are you waiting on. It also helps you identify bottlenecks. And I think, too, a lot of times when you have a smaller team, you know, everyone's waiting for you because they have to go to you with all their questions. And so I think like having the workflow process and having it, you know, standard, that reduces that friction. It reduces that bottleneck because people kind of know, okay, well, I know exactly what to do because this is the next step. And, you know, I don't need to go and ask Neil about it.
And when we were working on government contracts and had a government individual overseeing this whole process, they would always insist, and it makes sense, to have a defined, discrete start and stop event. So you have to say that this task starts here when event A occurs and finishes here when event B occurs. And you can't declare that step complete until event B is actually in place. And so tracking that progress through that step really gives you insight into, you know, how many resources does this take? How long does this normally take? And you start to get some feedback once you do that over the course of time that can help you refine your ability to, say, price out a matter.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the better you have things mapped out, it directly, the better your budget's going to be, right? Which is always really important for any size firm to really be able to predict what resources they're going to need and also how much, you know, they're going to be, how much the client is going to end up paying for this service. And of course, there's always anomalies and things happen, especially litigation. It's like there's always something surprising that happens. But I think when you have things planned out and mapped and you do it enough, you know what the risks are, and you can take those unexpected things and they in stride, and they don't affect your budget as much, and they don't affect your schedule as much because you've already got all the pieces, the underlying pieces in play.
The other thing you do is you map a level of effort associated with each of these steps so that you know how much resources in terms of manpower are being applied to accomplish the task at hand. Now, look, sometimes it may be one person does this, and so it's a single person level of effort. But what if that person is, you know, away or sick? You need to have multiple people trained so that you can contain the expenditure of resources to the budgeted amount.
Yeah. And I know, you know, back in when I was at a bigger firm, we had, I looked at all these time records, trying to understand how much time things cost, because we were trying to find tasks that we could do for a flat rate or like a flat bulk rate. So we were doing acquisitions of property for public projects. And so it was like, well, how long is it going to take to draft all the complaints or what, you know, whatever it was. And so we could just say, here's the cost, you know, it's going to cost you X dollars per complaint. And, you know, it's hard to predict, because on my own, when I try to predict how long something's going to take, I'm not good at it. But, you know, I'm getting better. And I think more people are getting better at it because clients are demanding it, right? They want to know exactly how long something's going to take and how much it's going to cost. So, but it is hard when you're on your own. I think you don't think about it, you just do it. And so having the records or the, you know, ability to compare, like what I thought internally it was going to take me 8 hours or one day, it really took me a day and a half. Or, you know, I didn't predict the client was going to have all these comments and want all these revisions. I'll bake that into the next time, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's.
I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Brian Kimmler at netprofit.com.
Now look, this doesn't have to be a really complex, really involved product. I mean, if you're doing a Gantt chart for a major step in your workflow analysis, that Gantt chart may only contain 3 or 4 steps, but at least you've delineated them, what they are, and you have discrete deliverables for each step. And it might just be complete this questionnaire, next step, draft the document, and the end point is the draft is sent to the client, and the next step would be, you know, review the document, and the end point is receive comments from the client. It doesn't have to be all that complex, but it really does start to give you a visual reference as to how work is done in your firm.
Right. And I think it also gives you a visual reference for who's doing the work, right? So yeah, you know, you're drafting the document, but who's actually sending it to the client? Who's getting the client's comments back? But like you said, it doesn't have to be complex. And especially, I think, as a solo, when you're just starting to do this mapping, you know, keep it simple. You can always add in layers later if that's important. And one thing I like to add to my workflow maps is the swim lanes. So we know it kind of bakes in who is doing what. So,
well, and then I'm just relating it back to my experience in project management in government contracting world. We would then develop procedures for each of those steps in the project plan. And what I see a lot of law firms do is they start with the procedures.
I think as lawyers, that's what, you know, we're like, that's how we think. I think a lot of times we go to the procedure first.
Yeah, where I think you get much more bang for your buck and have a much more comprehensive and well-understood process if you start, as we've discussed, with a workflow analysis and then a schedule analysis and resource analysis, ultimately resulting in, okay, now I've got this big picture. Let me take this step. And what's our procedure for doing this step? Who's involved? What do they do? What resources do they need for this step? And let's just flesh it out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you can keep all of that out of the workflow map. So the map is simple, right? High level. And then you have the procedures are different. And then, like you said earlier, we can plug those same procedures in to a different workflow where it's needed. You know, example, like, responding to discovery in one thing and sending the draft to the client, that's going to be the same if it's, you know, a request for admissions or whatever it is. It's the same thing, right? And then same thing with like other documents that you send to the client for review or feedback. If the client needs to respond to something, that procedure is probably going to look the same or very, very similar.
Yeah.
And the people responsible is probably going to be the same.
Yeah, for sure. So then, when you've been working with clients, do they get this concept of project management ahead of time, or they just feel there's a need for something and they're not quite sure what it is? They rely on you to help define what it is they need.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. There are, you know, I had a client who came to me and she already had her workflows mapped out. She was working with another consultant who was like, yeah, you need to get your workflows mapped out. And they maybe weren't the way I would have mapped them out, but it still was the starting point. And so it was great. So that wasn't a hurdle I had to go over. And actually, like the case that started it all for me, this mass tort case, where I built it out. I mean, the attorneys, they'd never heard of project management. They didn't know anything about it, but I just started doing it and building it. And it was, they just loved it. And it was like, great. I was amazed, you know, I really gave them a lot of credit because I know a lot of times attorneys are like, what's that? And why do we need it? And all I need is something else that's going to take more non-billable time. Right. So, but I think that hopefully we come to realize the value of it and see how it actually saves you time and makes you more efficient in the long run.
And clearly, as I said earlier, the bigger the case, the bigger the matter, the bigger the firm, the more important these kinds of things are. But it can be equally important to a smaller firm. I had a friend of mine who was an attorney, a partner in a firm, and they handled a mass tort case having to do with an accident on the metro here in the Washington, D.C. area. And I was coming from a government contracting perspective, wasn't too surprising to me, but I know a lot of my attorney friends were shocked to find out they hired a whole firm to do nothing but project management.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were far-sighted enough to know that this was going to be a really complex endeavor, years in the making, to get to a settlement and or trial. And they brought in an entire team. What I now know is that that experience then was translated to the rest of the law firm. And they broke down the project management concept to all the other practice areas that this large firm provided. So in a way, they were doing the same thing for a smaller subset of their firm.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what legal project management has started with, is that some of the really big firms, I know Seifert has a project management office, but it was built organically from the inside. And it was built by, it was kind of like, well, we would think we want to do this here, build it. And the woman did, you know, she basically built this project management office, and it's taken off within the firm. And I know there are a lot of other larger firms that are dipping their toes in project management, but you don't have to be a big firm to, you know,
benefit from it. No. So tell me, what are some of the technologies that you use to generate these services for your clients?
Yeah, well, probably my favorite project management tool is ClickUp. It's the one I'm most familiar with, but there's tons of them on the market. There's Asana, Monday, Trello, and different ones. And there are several that are legal specific. I think Practice Panther has a project management component, and probably some others. And even Clio, which I know a lot of solos and small firms use, has some project management capabilities. I don't think it's quite as robust. To me, I take a more of a best-in-class approach. Instead of trying to find something that is legal-focused, I take something that's just really good at what it does and then translate it to legal, which was what I did with ClickUp. And so that's just the one I started with and I have the most experience with, but I think it's really versatile and can be applied anywhere. I think the important things to look for are something that helps you collaborate and communicate. So, you know, one of the things I think that drives people crazy is they get so much email clutter about little questions that, you know, but if you put it in a comment on a task in the platform, it gets right to the right person and they can go and find it on their time. I could say, okay, you know, I like to start my morning in ClickUp and I go through, I don't have a team, so I don't have a lot of comments, but back when I was managing that bigger case, that's what I did. I spent a lot of my time just responding to comments, and that was my job as the project manager, right? So I think that's one thing to look for, is that communication and the collaboration tools, reporting status, being able to create your own statuses. And so you can map out your own workflow, visualize the workflow within that tool. So,
how are you reporting status?
Well, I know usually it's through a dashboard just using the reporting functions of the platform.
Yeah. Well, going back to your earlier point, between you, me, and the lamppost, I suspect that project management is an area that the big law firm management tools are going to spend a lot of time developing. People like Clio, because all of those practice management platforms, they all have automation capabilities that allow you to link steps to forms, and you know, you can create a workflow, but the next step is really that top level project management definition and linking that automation to the project management products. I think that's where people like Clio are going to spend the next couple of years, because it's really important to be able to map out what a law firm does, and they're one of the best at doing that. Practice Panther already, as you said, has a bit of that, and I think you're going to see that added to more and more. places like My Case, Practice Panther, Leo, and others.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one I've heard about is Leap, which I've been meaning to really dive deeper in. But from what I've heard, it has a lot of potential. And one of the things it does really well is integrates every, like the email, the documents, your document management system, your time records, all of that in one place. And I think that's what people like Clio or companies like Clio are going to want to build around. Because I think, like I said, I love ClickUp, but that's one of the things, like the time tracking for lawyers is not as good as it should be. But so you still have to go outside of it to really, really utilize time tracking. I think you can integrate it with Clio, but it just takes a little more effort on your project manager side, right? It's not the in-house capability is not great for lawyers.
Have you taken a look at where AI and machine learning tools might be incorporated into project management tools? Has that come across your radar yet?
It's come across my radar. I haven't really delved into it, but I think it's, and I know I use AI for automating generating standard templates, I guess, for different things. And so like outlines or talking points or things like that. But yeah, I think that can be really powerful. I know ClickUp has an AI functionality. I haven't tested it out yet. But yeah, I mean, there's all, like, AI is just having a huge, you know, impact on everything that's going to have that same huge impact on law.
Yeah. I mean, one of the areas where I think you might see something of that nature is we used to have to address a lot of what-if scenarios. The customer would say, well, what if this goes wrong? How does it affect the overall project plan, and how can we mitigate its impact? And I suspect that's an area where AI might start to play a role.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, one of the things that AI is good at is just digesting a lot of information and a lot of data. So I think the more we can get that data out into the world, then of risks and impacts, the better the AI is going to get at being able to predict those for us, which, yeah, that's a great way, which I think when you integrate it with a project management tool and you're using AI, it'll be internally, at least within your own firm, it'll generate that kind of data that you can use for predicting.
Yeah. Well, let's hope. Have we missed anything, Catherine? What are some, can you think of any other high point regarding project management in the legal space that you wanted to touch upon?
You know, I don't think so. I think I get really excited talking about project management, and I think it's, you know, a really good fit for just about for any size firm, and just helps you think a little bit differently about practicing law. And I think that that's a really important perspective to have, is just helps you kind of look at things a little differently, take the time to, was it measure twice, cut once? It's kind of like that, taking the time to math out that workflow and really understand what is involved in your matters from a procedural point of view and a workload point of view is just super helpful. And I think it can be a real game changer for anyone.
You know, for a old systems engineer, which is what I used to be, to me, it helps you understand that your law firm is a business that runs a series of systems that produce a product that you offer to your client. And I think the more we can understand the systems that we employ and map them out and be able to manage them better, the better the end product's going to be for the client. And those people that do it the best are going to, you know, profit the most.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the legal industry, like just about everybody else, is becoming more and more client-centric. And I think, you know, using the project management tools and techniques, which clients, if you've got corporate clients, they probably already are, you know, they're pretty familiar with project management, right? And so you're just, they know that. And they're not going to be surprised when they see you using that. In fact, it could be a benefit to say, hey, we use this stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we use that stuff too. That's cool. You know, so I think, yeah, it's going to be really important.
Well, Catherine, this has been a delight. Tell our audience how they might reach out to you. What's the best way to get in contact with you if they have any follow-up or questions they want to address?
Sure. My website is theresourcefullawyer.com. You can email me, Catherine@theresourcefullawyer.com. It's K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E for Catherine. And I'm on LinkedIn. Kate Porter JD is my username there. I'm also starting a growing YouTube channel where I'm posting videos about some of the things we've talked about, legal project management, using certain tools. And also my other favorite is the human-centered design or design thinking in the law, which I'm sure as a software person, you'd probably have heard of that too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, terrific. All right. Well, Catherine, thanks ever so much for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And next time I'm out there in SoCal, I'll stop by for that cup of coffee. How about that?
Great. That sounds great. Thanks, Neil.
Thanks for being a guest here today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.